It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Well, welcome to Quantum number 297, Quantum, a podcast that looks at news and views from throughout the world, culture, music, lots of different things, from a Christian perspective, but open to all. And a big thank you to the Melbourne people I met when I was down at Christ Presbyterian College for their graduation. It was lovely to meet, you know who you are, a whole family who regularly listen to this. And again, thank you to all of you who've given feedback and constructive criticism. Well, we're going to do an Easter special because by the time you listen to this, it'll come out on Easter Friday. This may be Easter Saturday, Easter Sunday, Easter Monday, or indeed even afterwards. But I want to wish you a happy Easter. And I wanted to focus on Easter a little bit different from what we normally do, because normally we'd go through news throughout the world. We'll bring in some of that. But I want to show you how Easter affects the world we live in and why it's so important and so essential. So let me begin with a bit of news from the United States.
Yeah, if we can stop traffic, just make sure no one's on the bridge right now. I'm not sure where there's a crew up there. You might want to notify whoever the foreman is, see if we can get them off the bridge temporarily.
10-4, once the other unit gets here, I'll ride up on the bridge. I have
213 dispatch, the whole bridge just fell down. Everybody, the whole bridge just collapsed.
10-4, dispatch is direct. That's correct.
That is the large ship that crashed into the Baltimore Bridge and brought it down. Sadly, it looks as though 6 people have been killed, 6 construction workers. I play that not just because it is a major event. It is a major event. It will block up for a while, at least, one of the biggest ports in the United States, therefore in the world. I play it because it illustrates a lot about our culture as well, because immediately on the internet there have been all kinds of memes about, was this sabotage, was it deliberate, etc., etc. But I play it because I'm taking it at surface value that it somehow the steering went wrong, and these ships are slow, and watching that happen, to me, it's a fabulous picture of where our society and our culture is at. We are like a giant ship, not knowing where we're going, without adequate steering, with things going wrong. Or, to put it another way, we need a bridge over troubled water. Here's Simon and Garfunkel.
When you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you.
Now, I was listening to The Rest is History, which in my view is the greatest podcast in the world. I can only aspire to its greatness. But they had a 5-part special on Martin Luther, which was fascinating. But what was most fascinating about it was how Tom Holland and Dominic Sandbrook, who are intelligent men and very insightful in lots of ways, just could not get what Luther was about. I don't think in the whole 5 programs they once mentioned justification by faith alone. I don't think they got the idea of salvation by grace. And you see, when we're thinking about Easter and we're thinking about the cross and we're thinking about the resurrection, I just think loads of people don't get it. So we're going to try and explain it through some of the events that we see, why we need it and what it means. But let me put it at the beginning just very, very, very simply. Let me state some facts that I think you will agree with. Number one, the world's a mess. Do you not agree with that? Number two, it's largely a mess because of human beings. Do you not agree with that? Number three, there isn't a single human being who's perfect. We're all part of screwed up systems and we ourselves are all screwed up. We need that to be dealt with. How can it be dealt with? I don't think governments can deal with it. I don't think religions can deal with it. I think it exists because of the gap between God and humanity. The humanity that's made in the image of God, but the humanity that is in rebellion against God. And it's because of that that we are in such a mess. So, that's why God sent Jesus. He sent him to be the bridge over troubled water. He sent him to enable us to go back to him. And the cross and the resurrection are all about that. So, let's come on just to a bit of news about the cross. Now, in the United Kingdom, the supermarket Iceland has been criticized because it's introduced hot cross buns adorned with a tick symbol instead of a cross. That's just quite extraordinary. And I'll tell you why it's extraordinary. They said they did it because of customer feedback, and a fifth came back to say they'd like to see a version with a tick. Now, I think it's a marketing genius strategy, and I'll tell you why. Because it's guaranteed headlines, it's guaranteed to get Iceland's name in the paper, it's guaranteed to get people saying, well, this is a disgrace, and, you know, all kinds of outrage from people. And then it's equally guaranteed to get Christians going, oh, well, this is just, you know, trivial. We're not concerned. But you see, I think, let me put it this way. Would Iceland be so quick to put the crescent moon on a bun? Or would they use a cartoon of Muhammad as a marketing gimmick? No, they wouldn't. And you know why. I think this is just basically mockery. And it's showing the trivialization both of Christianity and how so many in our society regard Christianity. And the cross is offensive to many people. Or take this. This is from Australia, an article I read in the Australian Spectator entitled, Is Corporate Australia Ashamed of Easter and Passover? I put links to this all on the website www.theweeflea.com if you're looking for any of the links to all of these stories. But it's true. You can go into the big Westfield shopping malls here and you won't see Happy Easter signs. You just won't. Although we do have, as a public holiday, Good Friday and Easter Monday, which is really quite remarkable. But as this article points out, in Westfield, the Muslim month of Ramadan, that big sign saying Ramadan Kareem, which says Holy Ramadan, just as we saw in a previous podcast, how British Rail had signs up with verses from the Quran on Ramadan. It's Easter. Do you think, I mean, any of you in the UK? Let me know if any of your railway stations have Easter signs up, verses from the Gospels up. I don't think so. And that's because our society just doesn't get the point of Easter at all, in general. Some do. I think the Greeks do. But they're just, I think the Orthodox countries, I think they do. But I think Western society really has no clue. So let's think about resurrection. There's an extraordinary story about a Christian pastor, well, he says he's a Christian pastor, who he says brought someone back to life. This is a pastor called Dawkins. No, it's not Richard Dawkins. He's not being converted. This Richard Dawkins would love this because it just gives him material to work with. He talks about how a man collapsed in a meeting. This was in England. And he began to declare, as he says, the resurrection life of Jesus Christ over him. And this guy seemed to die, so he says. And then he rebuked the spirit of death and he was raised from the dead. This is what he is claiming. And he says that while he was dead, the Lord showed him the spirit of religion, spirit of death with the same spirit. I believe this was a strong prophetic act of God, of what God is shifting in the UK. I don't. I really don't. The man who died, a Mr. Catlow, his sister said, that actually had an epileptic seizure, which can often display signs of someone dying. The preacher from Inglewhite Church has been so thrown by all of this, and on Sunday, he apologized to his congregation for allowing this man, Robbie Dawkins, into their church. Wow. I just think that, look, this is not what the Bible means by resurrection. It's not someone collapsing. It's not Jesus having an epileptic fit. It's not Jesus fainting on the cross and then coming back. Ironically, that's, of course, what the Muslims would teach. The resurrection of Jesus is a real resurrection from the dead. Not this kind of nonsense that goes on in the name of Christ. I remember, was it a guy called Todd Bentley was claiming to resurrect so many people that he couldn't keep records of them. Or well, never mind. I just think that's all crazy. I think, on the other hand, that U2 and B.B. King get it. You know, in the film Rattle and Hum, when they're rehearsing that and Bono is reading out the lyrics, B.B. King goes, "Them's mighty heavy lyrics for a mighty young man." They are. "I was there when they crucified my Lord. I threw the dice when they pierced his side. But I've seen love conquer the great divide." That is what the cross is about. It's about conquering this great divide between God and humanity. And actually, between humans, it's only the love of the cross and the atonement of the cross, and by that I mean paying for our sins, that these things can be dealt with. Another thing that happens, of course, is the Jews get blamed. Now, to some extent, the Jewish leaders were responsible for the death of Jesus, as were the Romans, ultimately, as were all of us. That's not really controversial. Peter, a Jew, said to the Jews at Pentecost, "You killed him. You killed the author of life." But there's, I don't know why, and I don't think it's because of this, but the hatred towards the Jews has always been around, and it's getting worse, as we've seen. So Hamilton Jewish Festival, extraordinary this, the Jewish Film Festival, was cancelled. Cancelled because of security reasons. Another, the Rio Picture House in London, is cancelling a screening of Eurovision in protest at Israel's participation in the competition. So anything to do with Israel, to be honest, anything to do with Jews, it's being attacked. Which brings me to my country of the week. And I thought, since it was Easter, and the events of Easter occurred in this country, of course, this is Israel, and this is their beautiful national anthem. Now, there's much we could say about Israel, historically, biblically, and currently. And of course, we will continue to cover what's going on in Gaza and Lebanon and everywhere else. Israel is a nation of some 10 million people, 22,000 square kilometers. And as you know by now, I reference all this in terms to Scotland. Well, Scotland is four times that size with 5 million people. So Scotland is four times the size with half the people. There are 10 million people crammed into Israel. They're surrounded by 240 million people who are largely professed to destroy them. You will forgive them being a little bit concerned. I think what many people do not know is that 73% of the people in Israel are Jews and 21% are Arab. When people talk about the Israelis committing genocide against the Palestinians, wanting to get rid of them all and to kill them all. That's not true. And that's demonstrable within Israel itself, not to deny that there are extreme tensions and that there is a war, which there is. But this is not genocide. And one of the things about Israel, and we do pray for Israel and the peace of Israel, one of the reasons that Israel exists is because of what happened in the Second World War and the Holocaust. And that national anthem that I played for you, here's a report of it being sung in Bergen-Belsen when it was liberated. By the way, one of the liberators was an elder in my congregation in Brora in the north of Scotland, Jackie McLennan. And to the end of his days, he would not speak about what he had seen. But here it is anyway.
Israel Chai, the children of Israel still liveth.
You see, the Hatkiva, as long as in the heart within the Jewish soul yearns and towards the eastern edges onward, an eye gazes towards Zion, our hope is not yet lost. The hope that is 2,000 years old, to be a free nation in our land, the land of Zion, Jerusalem. They sang that, having gone through the horrors of the Holocaust. Hatifka is the means the hope. That's what the thing is called. I watch Schindler's List frequently. I've watched it many times because it reminds me that the only hope for Israel is the only hope for the Palestinians. It's the only hope for the Scots and the Australians and the Americans and the French and the Chinese, for all of humanity. It is the only hope, and it's the hope of the cross and the hope of Christ. Now, having said that our society has turned away from the hope of the cross and the hope of the resurrection, what's it turned to? It's turned towards new religions. So here's an example. This is a partnership, the PIPS, a company, and they've got I've been sent a list of the events that they have to celebrate. So February, all month, LGBTQ plus History Month, the HIV testing week, March, International Women's Day, International Trans Day of Visibility, April, 6th April, Asexuality Day, 26th April, Lesbian Visibility Day, May, 17th May, International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia and Transphobia, 19th May, Agender Pride Day, 24th May, Pansexual and Panromantic Visibility Day, June, all month, Pride Month, 5th of June, HIV Long-Term Survivors Awareness Day, 28th June, Stonewall Riots Anniversary, July, 8th to 14th July, Non-Binary Awareness Week, 14th July, International Non-Binary People's Day, August 8th, International Allyship Day, 16th to 23rd September, Bisexual Awareness Day, 11th October, National Coming Out Day, 16th October, International Pronoun Day, 20th to 26th October, Asexual Awareness Week, 26th October, Intersex Awareness Day, 6th November, Transparent Day, 13th November, Trans Awareness Week, 19th November, International Men's Day, 20th November, World Day, Trans Day of Remembrance, 1st December, World AIDS Day. Look, these are new festivals, if you like, tied into this new religion, which is not about reality. And then in the church, so often in the church, sadly, and others, we have false Christs. I've just read a review. I won't be buying the book. It's a book called Him, a provocative retelling of the story of Jesus imagining the Son of God as a transgender man. And this is in a serious article. A sci-fi columnist, Emily H. Wallace Wilson, looks at this novel by Jeff Ryman. Yeah. I actually have nothing more to say to it. It's just, this is the kind of thing we get all the time. And the Christ of the Bible is constantly attacked. Well, I'm reminded of this from Johnny Cash.
Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweep. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Yeah, you can run on for a long time, but God's gonna cut you down. There's a darkness and a blackness, and Cash dressed in black to identify with the poor, but Christ identified with the poor by dying for them. And to give you an example of that from Scotland, there's so much going on in Scotland just now that makes me so depressed. Here's Jenny Minto, the Minister for Public Health and Women's Health.
An activity will be captured by offences will be dependent on the facts and the circumstances that is happening around that activity. We have spoken to both Police Scotland and the Crown Office about this and will continue to do so as the bill is developed. But I think it's looking at the context of the situation and the impact that it has on, which is the key element of this bill, which is women being able to safely access abortion services.
Now, you need to remember that Scotland was one of the countries most affected by the Christian gospel. We became known as the land of the people of the book. Now we have a Minister for Public Health and Women's Health not sure if she's passing legislation banning silent prayer. Oh, dear me. All right, I am going to go out. I'm going to leave you with a bit of hope, but just it's good to get feedback. And I was very encouraged by feedback I got from somebody who was a U.S. service member, still is a U.S. service member, and who had heard of the podcast when he was in the U.K. and has been listening to it since. And he wrote me recently basically to confirm the comments I was making about the downfall of the U.S. military. And he said, I can attest that you are correct. And he gave me some further information showing that, which we'll maybe share with you later. But I loved at the end, he said, go watch the Bluey cricket episode. I don't understand cricket, but I understand everything else in that episode. Yeah, it's a great episode, isn't it? But thank you so much. You said that this podcast means a lot to you and you've gained greatly from it. And I appreciate you passing that on to me. All right, let's return to the cross. And here's a gentleman we've been following for some time. And here he is, appearing to get ever closer to the cross.
I feel that at the moment I'm moving towards a kind of moment of baptism. I mean, are you baptized? Did you get baptized as an adult? Like, would you do it in a river? Would you do it in a font? Do you want to get fully under there? Because me, I want River Jordan or River Thames at worst. I want proper plunging and... Tell me, what is the importance of the church? And tell me, is it important what church you go to? Because I'm just learning, man. I'm just learning. And, you know, if I don't get clear guidance, I'll have to make a decision just sort of based on what petal I'm on. Let me know what you're into. In the holy name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, amen.
That was Russell Brand. It feels to me he's getting close. I still don't think he quite gets it. It's not about the universal Christ, etc., etc. But I think he's beginning to grasp that we need repentance, we need forgiveness, we need Christ. So let me play this song. This is the Scottish band Nazareth. I think this is a really beautiful song.
Thank you.
Love hurts. Yeah, I love wounds. Love is like a flame. It burns you when it's hot. Jesus' love for us cost him his life. Cost him much more, actually. He bore our sins. That's what we need to remember in terms of the cross. We also need to remember that it wasn't an accident. In Seek, the book for teenagers I put out fairly recently, do one chapter a week usually, Seek 28, again, and there's a link to it on the website. Predestination. If God has predestined everything, why bother? Do I have free will? Well, I attempt to answer that in the book. I answer it by dealing with Robbie Burns' famous quote, "O thou who in the heavens dost dwell, as it pleases best thyself, send ones to heaven and ten to hell, all for thy glory and not for any good or bad they've done during their lifetime." Well, Burns' poem is a poem about a religious hypocrite. It doesn't really grasp what's going on with predestination and salvation. God doesn't send people to hell irrespective of what they've done. The dead are judged according to what they've done. But the point is this, that God predestined to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. That's what Peter again said on the day of Pentecost. And yes, we do have free will up to a point, but we are the ones who find ourselves continually rejecting God. So have a look at it. It's a much deeper subject that I can do in the time that we've got here. And I do want to go, but I've put some links in there as well to help you. So thank you for listening. Thanks to Peter for producing this. Thanks to those of you who donate to help us keep this going. There's a link to that, to the Podbean fundraiser on the website as well. Thanks for all the messages. Thanks to those of you who review. And if you haven't reviewed, please do so. Spread the word as well. And I'm going to love you and leave you with this from Keith and Kirsten Getty. "See What a Morning." I love it. "See Mary weeping. We weep at the state of our culture and our society. She turns from the empty tomb. It's gone. The voice that spans the year, speaking life, stirring hope, bringing peace to us, will sound till he appears. For he lives. Christ is risen from the dead." And it's just, we will sing this on Easter Sunday, and I'm so looking forward to it. "And we are raised with him. Death is dead. Love has won. Christ has conquered. And we shall reign with him. For he lives. Christ is risen from the dead." Happy Easter. See you next week.